Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Anyway, if you would turn to your Bibles to Psalm 27, we're going to pick up basically where we left off on Sunday morning, but I'm going to be faster. I'm determined. I'm going to go through these quickly, so I'm going to try to look at my notes and not get up and not move around, and then I should be able to do that. So I'm going to read verse 6, and then we will pray and we'll get into it. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies all around me. This is verse 6. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Father, we come before you this evening with humility. Thank you that we get to be in your house on a Wednesday night. Thank you for the peace that we are living in. God, I thank you for your presence that surrounds us, that meets with us, that teaches us, that leads us. Thank you that we have your word at our disposal all the time. Lord, at any moment we can pick it up and read it. And may we never, ever grow weary. May we never take for granted that we have your book at our disposal. God, may we truly treasure it for the treasure that it is, because in it is everything that we have need of. I pray that your word would speak to every person's heart, wherever they're at, whatever they have need of. Your word is effectual. It's effective. You know where we're all at in our journey. You know exactly what we need to hear. And so, sweet Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to us, change us, mold us, convict us. Whatever that is needed, we welcome it. And I pray that this word would fall on good ground and it would minister grace to the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's dive right in. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies all around me. First of all, I just want to say that that is a prayer of mine for every single person that is in this room, that no matter what you do on your job or even in your families, whatever aspect, or maybe even in ministry, that your head would be lifted up above your enemies. Because to me, that speaks of promotion. Only God brings promotion. It says that, you know, promotion doesn't come from the north, from the east, from the west, all of those different places, but God is the judge. He puts down one and he sets up another. So promotion comes from God. And the beautiful thing about promotion is like, well, why do I need promotion? You know, is this all about prosperity? No, because as you get promoted on your job, and those that are on your job that are not living for the Lord, that are wicked, they see you getting promoted and promoted, and they're like, something must be on your life, because why do you keep getting promoted? Why do you keep getting elevated? Because that's what happens when we serve God. He's the one. He made us to be what? The head and not the tail. So it's his will that we would constantly be promoted by him, because then it's not just for us to get promoted, but let's think about two blessings, just two of what promotion can do. One, it can increase your finances. Okay, that's great. What is Abraham? He's blessed to be a what? A blessing. So we get promoted, we get blessed, so then we can give more than we used to could give to things like, oh, that person has a need. Like, for example, I got a message just yesterday, I think. A church up in Tennessee, their park was vandalized. They had written with graffiti and just destroyed their playground. And they were going to need $3,000 to fix said playground. Okay, well, if I'm being blessed and I'm being promoted in a way, guess what? I've got extra money that's going, oh, they have a need? Okay, we'll send them some money. Do you see what I'm saying? So promotion can, one, it can cause you to then be able to be a blessing in a way that you have, that you maybe couldn't have been in the past, but also then you have more opportunities to lead more people to Jesus, to have a greater influence. So that's just two ways of why promotion is good. Now, if promotion is all about your selfishness and your ego, never mind, you don't need it. Okay. Therefore, we're going to keep going. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Therefore, I will. We need to get that in our spirit. He's talking to himself. That, remember, this is his song, and he's saying, I will, like I'm making a decision. I will offer sacrifices. Like this isn't an option. I'm not wondering if I should or if it would be a good idea. I'm making a decision. I will offer sacrifices of joy. Now, here's what's interesting. Offer right there is the Hebrew, I'm not going to tell you what the Hebrew word is, but what it means is sacrifice. So he says, I will sacrifice sacrifices of joy, because sacrifices literally means sacrifice. So he says, I will sacrifice joy. So what is he saying? He's saying that sometimes coming into the house of God and deciding I will sacrifice joy to God, that means that it is sometimes it's going to take more effort than we realize, because to bring an offering, it in especially in their day and age when they were offering animals, he was literally speaking of, this is going to take a death in me to offer joy. That seems contrary. Wait a second. I'm offering a sacrifice of joy. So how do those go together? Because I'm doing the exact opposite of how I'm feeling. I come in here and I'm not feeling joy. I'm not feeling like worshiping. That's why I will. I'm commanding my will what to do. Not what I feel, not what I think, not what is everyone else doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing, because I've already decided. I will offer sacrifice of joy. Meaning, if I'm standing there and I'm feeling like, man, this has been rough, like all this stuff that's going on, you know, whatever, but I'm here. No, that's when you go, I will sacrifice joy. Meaning, I'm not putting on a show. I'm putting on the joy for him, like going, God, you're greater than whatever it is that I'm going through, whatever it is that I'm looking at, whatever that's going on in our nation right now. I'm putting that aside and I'm giving you the sacrifice of joy, because you are my one thing, because you are my delight. I'm not looking down here. I'm making the decision. No matter what it costs me, this is what I'm giving to you. Here's what joy means. It's the word teruah, and it means clamor, acclamation of joy, or a battle cry, loud noise, high joyful sound. So I don't want to praise you. I'm just not feeling it, but I'm going to give you a sacrifice of acclamation of joy, battle cry, loud noise, high joyful sound. So I'm not feeling like it, but I'm going to start praising you and you're going to hear it. It's going to have some noise to it. So the interesting thing is, just in this psalm, it tells us we really shouldn't judge people's worship and praise in its own way. And I'm going to show you how. Because if you remember from Sunday morning, one of the things that we talked about was it means to sit down as a judge when in ambush, in silence, in the presence of God. I'm being ambushed, but I'm sitting and I'm just looking at him in silence, right? Well, now we're still in the same psalm. And now it says we're going to have acclamation of joy, a battle cry, a loud noise, a high joyful sound that's like, yes, or woo, or hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, wait, I thought we were sitting. Oh, I was, but now I've already moved on into something else. So that's why you shouldn't judge someone's worship, because just in this psalm, David gives us an example that sometimes people are sitting and they're being ambushed and they're just sitting in silent, meditating on the Lord, going like Jeff was singing. And that those songs were so accurate for this word, because it's like I'm sitting in silence because I'm watching as the songs of deliverance are going around me and Jehovah Nissi is fighting my battles, and I'm going to stand still is what God said to Moses, stand still and I will take care of your enemies. But then over here, he's like, okay, I've already sat and I've already stood still and I've already seen this happen to my enemies. But now I'm going to come over here and I'm going to sacrifice joy in the presence of God. So you can't judge, because you don't know what their silence means. and you don't know what their acclamation of joy means. He who has been forgiven much, they love much. So we can't be surprised by some of the things that they might do because they've gotten out of a lot of junk. And the thing is, neither one of them are for us. So why do we sit as judge? They're not for you. And if we're watching, we're setting ourselves up as a judge. Why are you watching? We're here for him. And so if we focus on him, let him do whatever he's doing in their life, no matter how quiet or how loud, because God is in both. Okay? So I will offer sacrifices of joy, meaning I may not feel like doing it. That would make it a sacrifice. I don't want to do it. That would make it a sacrifice. It costs me something. That would make it a sacrifice. I will not offer to the Lord something that does not cost me something. That's what David said when God was stretching out his hand and he was about to kill Jerusalem with the death angel because of the sin of the census. He had his hand stretched out, but he was waiting. He's like, oh, I don't want to strike Jerusalem. And David sees him and he's like, runs over to Araunah's threshing floor. And he's like, I'll buy it from you. Because God told him what to do. He was going to make a sacrifice to the Lord. And he's like, oh, no, 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 you can have it. And sometimes I feel like we may act that way in the presence of God. It's like, oh, you can have the presence of the Lord. And it's like, hold on. I'm not going to offer to the Lord something that doesn't cost me something. Why? Because he gave all. He gave all. So it should be our joy, our delight to turn around and give back to him, not because of demand, but because of desire. So he says, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Praises here is the word zalmar. And it means to celebrate in song and music. Give praise. Sing forth praises, psalms. Do that. Praise the Lord with song, with music. Give forth praise. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also on me and answer me. First thing I want you to notice here is, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. God hears us. Amen. That is so encouraging. Just right off. God, hear, O Lord, when I cry. God hears us. He is the God who hears. I know sometimes it may feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. He is the God who hears. He has not stopped being who he is. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. He has not stopped listening. Secondly, God wants to hear your voice. Because he says, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also on me and answer me. God wants to hear your voice. It's personal. Yes, we can come in here and pray corporately together, and that's wonderful, and God loves that too. But he wants to hear your voice because he made your vocal cords. He made your voice. He wants to hear it every morning because he loves your voice. God wants to hear your voice. I love this definition. Have mercy also on me and answer me. Mercy means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior, that is, move to favor. So he's saying, would you bend to me? Would you stoop in kindness to an inferior? That is, would you move to favor towards me? So when I read that definition, I get the image of a parent with a child. Because when you go to help a child do something, tie their shoes, put on their pants, even though they think they know everything, and then they put their pants on backwards, right? Like, I can do it. And then it's like, help me. That's Bishop. Help. But that's the image I get of God with us. It's to stoop with kindness. Would you stoop with kindness towards me? And would you favor what it is that I'm asking you to do? And we recognize that we are inferior to him. That's not pleasant to hear. Wait, I'm inferior? Yes, he's God. And when we remember that, we don't get sassy. We don't get bratty. We don't raise our fist at him because we remember he's God. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are inferior. So it's like this. I'm inferior to you. You are the exalted one. Please move in favor and do what I can't do. Would you stoop in mercy and kindness towards me and do what I can't do?" It's like in the New Testament, "Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Your name is set apart. My name is not. Your name is set apart. I'm inferior to you. You are greater. Answer me." This means, I love this one too. "Answer me" means to eye, like I'm looking at you, to heed, to pay attention, to respond, to begin to speak. So he's saying, will you have mercy on me? And then will you eye, like, will you look at me? Will you pay attention? Will you respond to what I'm praying to? This is beautiful because so much of this in our prayer life, we're struggling with, does God see me? Does God hear me? Is God going to answer me? Will God favor what I'm asking him to do? And all of these things are pointing towards, yes, he will stoop with kindness. He will respond. He will put his eye on you. You aren't forgotten. You're not unseen and you're not unheard. Then he says this in verse 8, when you said, God still speaks. He hasn't changed. Remember, we already said that when we said God hears, God sees, God still speaks. He said, when you said, I am he. I love this in Isaiah 52:6. I'm going to have to turn there really quickly. And I thought I was going to be able to get through all of Psalm 27, but I'm just going to get as far as I can in the next 15 minutes. And we'll just have to call it a night. All right. Isaiah 52:6. Therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, they will know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. I love that. God still speaks. He says, hey, I am the God who speaks. Behold, it's I. It's me. Jesus said this, my sheep, they know my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So I want you to remember that, because he speaks, he hears your voice. But if you don't know his voice, I'm going to tell you the most wonderful thing. He wants you to know his voice. He wants you to hear his voice, to know his promptings, to know his leadings, to know when you feel off that you're like, that's God saying, no, don't do that. Or when you feel that peace of God that you know, yes, this is what he's wanting me to do right now. This is what he's wanting me to say. This is the decision. All of those things. He wants you. Why? Because you're his child. That's what he wants more than anything, is to have this going back and forth. When you said, what did he say? Seek my face. What does he want us to do? Because God, he's interjecting right here. So he's saying something that must be really important. If David is talking and then all of a sudden God speaks. And he said, when you said, seek my face. Okay, so what? How does he want us to do that? Seek means this. To search out by any method, specifically in worship or prayer, by implication to strive after, to ask, to beg, to desire. When it says strive after, I think of like when you're pressing on or you're pursuing after a prize. It's like just actually the definition for strive, I'll give that to you. It means to devote serious effort or energy, endeavor, meaning it's like, I am so serious about this. Have you ever met someone you're like, you're too serious about whatever XYZ is? That's how he wants us to be with this, because he's talking about what? Seek my face is the instruction. So he's saying, I want you to be so serious about seeking my face. Not, do we ask God to do things? Yes. But if we want our primary pursuit to be seeking His face, because as we seek His face, these other things will take care of themselves. And honestly, a lot of times, if we will get rid of those distractions and seek His face, they disappear, because a lot of them were like, I don't really care about them anymore because I'm so caught up in who He is that all of a sudden my prayers start changing and I start praying things that I never thought about because I got so caught up in His goodness that I'm feeling that fulfillment and that completion of intimacy with Him, that I'm like, how do I keep staying in that goodness? How do I keep getting into that place of who You are? I want to keep doing it more and more and more because I love how it is being here with You. And so then a lot of things, not all things, they just go away because you're so caught up in His face that it's like, just show me more. How do I get more? How do I get closer? What is there anything I can get rid of to get into a greater place with You? So let's devote serious effort, energy, endeavor to pursuing Him every day. Y'all, so many of the things that we are frustrated with or discouraged by, they'll go away if we do. I remember one of the best things someone told me when I was 17 was, if you will start praying every day for 15 minutes, your whole life will change. And I took her word for it because I was messed up. I was like, if it'll work, I'll do it. She's like, you can set a timer and everything. I was like, all right, 15 minutes, let's go, God. I'm so serious, though. If we would pray every day, so many things would be dismantled. So many things would go away because He can do everything. So then He says, seek My face. So all of the things I read you strive after, pursue, beg. People be like, you don't have to beg God. Okay, well, in Hebrew, it actually does mean beg. So yeah, I'm willing to beg. You know what I've prayed before is where the woman, there was few people that Jesus marveled at their faith. Pastor Jeff, I believe, shared about the soldier last week, or the man that was the centurion. But the other one, and I've been praying this off and on, was the woman that came to Jesus and she was begging Him to heal her daughter. I think she needed a demon cast out. And He's sitting at the table with His disciples and He's ignoring her. And then He's like, you know, first the children must be fed. And she goes, but Lord, even the little dogs will eat the crumbs that fall off their master's table. And in times of desperation, I've cried out, Lord, just give me a crumb. Just give me a crumb. If I can get a crumb from Your table, it'll do everything I need it to do. And I'm not too prideful or think I've gotten too far or think I know so much that I am not humble enough to beg for a crumb. If You just give me a crumb of the word, a crumb of You speaking, a crumb of Your presence, a crumb of a touch, I know it will do whatever it is that I have need of. And I want, because I want Jesus to marvel at my faith, that you can do that. You can do that. Face means face, presence, countenance, sight, person, me. My heart said to You, my heart, my inmost being, it responded. You said this, my heart, it said back to You. Your face, Lord, I will seek. You said it, my heart does it. That's enough. Verse 9, do not hide Your anger from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger, because You have been my help. I'm going to just sum this part up. One of the things that really speaks to me from this verse is that God's face was so important to David. He didn't want to lose it or make God angry. Not out of fear, but out of desire. It was like, God, please don't hide Your face from me. Don't turn away in anger, because His face was the utmost importance to God. He's like, please, I don't want to lose Your face, because You've been my help. You've been my Ezra, Ezrath is what the Hebrew word is. You've been my help. You've been my aid. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Jesus said it this way, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. David was so in love with the presence of God. Here's what I would guess. If he had a fear, it was losing that. Of anything that when you're reading through him, it's like, if I thought there was one thing that he was afraid of, it'd be losing the presence of God. Because he would pray prayers like, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You are my salvation. And he said, you're my salvation. You're my help. And it's like, if you were to leave me, what am I going to do? After everything we've already gone through, Psalm 27, you're my salvation, you're my deliverance, you're my prosperity, you're my shield, you're my brightness, you're my clear, you're my illumination, you're my happiness, you're my help. Okay, so if I were to lose that, what in the world would I do? Because you're literally everything. It's like what Peter said to Jesus. After Jesus had taught on the bread, he said, if you don't eat my body and you don't drink my blood, then you can't have any part with me. And many were offended at this saying, and they went away. And Jesus turned and he looked at his disciples and he said, you're going to go away too? Peter said, where else can I go? You have the words that are eternal and full of life. Let's read verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Forsake means to loosen, to relinquish, to leave, to destitute, to refuse. So I see this in a lot of different facets because not all of those words are negative. One, it could be you did have bad parents. They left you destitute. They forsook you. They relinquished you. Two, you got married because that would be to loosen. Or you became an adult. And again, you just move on. But he's saying, then the Lord will take me up. So no matter what capacity of life or what phase you're in or whatever happened, good childhood, bad childhood, became an adult, got married, still single, but an adult, whatever it may be, what he's saying is, hey, no matter which one of those you are, the Lord will take you up. And I can say that with confidence and clarity and assurance because I had some hardships. But you know what? The Lord took me up and he fills in all the gaps. And here, I love this one. Take me up means this. When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He will gather for any purpose. He will restore. He will assemble. He will recover. He will re-reward. Assemble means to fit together the parts. So I want to read this to you. If we're broken, if our parts are bent, if a part is missing, if a part needs some oil, if a part needs some cleaning, if a part needs some sanding, if a part needs some power, he says, I'll fix the parts. Whatever you're in, he created your inmost being. He formed your inward parts. And he says, I'll fix those parts. And not only will I fix them, I'll take care of if it's this, if it's your mind, if it's this thinking pattern, if it's this emotion, if it's this thing that happened in the past, I will take them and then I'll put them back together. And verse 11, and I'm going to start to close. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. Because of my enemies. Teach means to flow as water that is rain, to lay or throw an arrow, to point out as if aiming the finger, to teach, to inform, to instruct. Meaning it's like, he says he'll teach me. Meaning if I'm like, God, what about this? And he's like, right there, do that. Well, should I choose this or that? That one right there. He will teach. He'll point out whatever it is that we need pointed out. Do this with your money. Do this with your family. Do this with this situation. Do this with this coworker. Do this with this scripture. Say this to that person. He will teach us with his finger going, this is the way. Here's what way means. A road, a course of life, a mode of action. I love that. God will point and he'll go, this is the course of life. This is the road. And this is the mode of action that you need to take. Do you see the intimacy in all of this psalm? That it's like, whatever I'm coming up with, whatever I'm thinking about, God will point it out. God will fill it. God will perform it. God will heal it. God will direct it. Everything is here. He says, I'll lead you. I'll guide. I'll govern you into a smooth. He'll lead us on a smooth if we would just keep following. But a lot of times we follow and we're like, oh yeah, this is good. I got it now, God. And we're like, bump. He's like, I told you I'd lead you on a smooth path. Don't be like the horse. Don't be like the donkey that have to be led. And it's like, no, God, I'm stubborn and I'm fighting against you. He's like, no, I'll lead you on a smooth path if you'll just listen and watch. Watch and listen. I'm pointing this way. No, I didn't say that way. That's why you ran into that pole. Do you see what I'm saying? Point. God. Okay, I got it, God. Zechariah 4:7. I'm not going to turn there for time. But it talks about, he says, there's these mountains in front of you. And he says, hey, listen, I just want to let you know, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Those mountains, they shall become a plain. And we'll shout, grace, grace to the capstone. He says, those mountains, they'll become a plain. How do they become a plain? By the Spirit of God. So whatever mountains we have in front of us, you know, a lot of times those mountains seem a lot bigger than what they actually are. And as we speak grace, grace to them by the Spirit of God, they're like, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I thought this thing was really big. And it's like, oh, it's a plain now by the Spirit of God. If we'll just walk with him and listen to his instruction. Do not deliver me, verse 12, to the will of adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and such as breathe out violence. So we've got a lot going on right here, but I'm going to condense it for time's sake. False means untruth. Violence means wrong, oppressor, injustice. So here's what he's saying. I'm going to sum it up. In all this, I have enemies that are speaking lies and violence towards me, about me. So please teach me your way. Please show me your mode of action. I'm surrounded by a problem. I'm surrounded by a battle. But if you'll show me what to do, I won't end up falling into sin and doing what they want me to do and ending up in their will. If you'll just show me what to do, and he will. But he's saying, when you get surrounded, listen to his teaching so you don't fall into the exact thing that your adversaries are doing. Verse 13. I'm going good. I've got 4 minutes left. I would have lost heart. I would have fainted. I would have lost the will to continue. Unless, if you lose the will to continue or feel like you want to quit or faint, look at what you're thinking, believing, and speaking, because that will reveal why you are fainting. Why am I losing heart? Listen to yourself think. Listen to what you're saying. Because this is why he doesn't faint. This is why he doesn't lose heart. This is why he can continue. He said, I had believed. Your belief will cause you to faint if it's not in him. Because we're believing something. I want to read this to you very quickly. I had believed. It means to build up or support. Fostered as a parent or a nurse. To render firm or faithful, trust, believe, to be permanent, assurance, established. Meaning, I'm built up. I'm supported by my faith in what he can do, in who he is. I trust him. This is assurance. It's established. It doesn't matter what it feels like, what it looks like. Judge him faithful. Judge him. You know, people are like, judge not, judge not. Judge him faithful. No matter what's going on, judge, he's faithful. He will always be faithful. Judge him faithful. To build up your faith, it says, take action, get to work. Take action, get to work. Don't just expect your faith to grow. Like, oh yeah, I go to church all the time. No, he gave every one of us a measure. And that means that it can grow. But it doesn't grow if we don't work it. If we don't work it, it's dead. Faith without works is dead. We have to work our measure. So take action. Jude 1:20 says this, but you, beloved, building up yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, build up yourselves in your most holy faith. Here's why. Faith keeps me from fainting. Faith keeps me from fainting. And when we want to faint, we need to feed on his faithfulness. And we need to pray in the Holy Spirit. Because as we pray in the Holy Spirit, it builds up our faith. And we need to feed on. We need to recount what has he done in the past. Because sometimes in the moment we forget. We need to remind ourselves, what has he done? He'll do it again. What he has done for others, he will do for you. It is no secret what God can do. But what are we believing? That we would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm believing I'm not just going to spend eternity with him. I'm going to get to see his goodness in my now life, not there. I'm believing it for now. That's why I'm not fainting, because he's going to do it now. I'm going to see him do it now. David said, your goodness and your mercy shall follow me. So what is this? So he's saying, I'm going to see it in front of me and I'm going to see it behind me. So that means that goodness is literally encircling us. Why? Because God is goodness. If I had the time, and I don't, to go to Exodus 33, he said, God, I want to see your goodness. And he said, my goodness shall pass before you. But he also uses the word glory, and he uses them interchangeably. So he's saying, I am goodness. I am glory. So we are literally surrounded by his goodness. We're believing to see his goodness here, but then it's following us. So his goodness is literally all around us. So how am I believing I will see his goodness and in my life and its following? Because he is goodness. And if I'm seeing him, walking with him, goodness is always before me. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness. We just need to ask him, Holy Spirit, this is who you are. Bear this goodness through me. And goodness means generous giving, quality of being generous and doing good. It's kind of what we're talking about earlier. If I get promoted and I have more money, then I get to give to somebody in need or to something else or to some ministry or whatever it is. I'm going to close with this. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I've got to read you what wait means in Hebrew. It's just too good not to leave it with you. To bind together, perhaps by twisting, to expect, to gather, to tarry, to wait on. That literally means as I'm waiting on him, we are binding and we are twisting together to the point where it's like, are we seeing Madison or are we seeing God? Are we seeing Brother Dale? Are we seeing God? Are we seeing Brother Jim? Are we seeing God? Because it's all interchangeable. And you're like, is that scriptural? Yes, because Jesus prayed it, and I don't have time to go there. But he said, as I am in you and you are in me, so they will be in us. Meaning we are just all in this all together. As we wait, that's why don't get discouraged in waiting, because as we wait, it binds us and twists us together with him, and it strengthens us, because they that wait on the Lord, they'll mount up with wings like eagles. And I'm not going to quote you the rest of that. My encouragement with waiting, and I'm going to close, is wait in expectation. Don't just wait. But also remember that your waiting is binding you with the Lord. You're being twisted together. You're tarrying. And what happens when you tarry? Then you get endued with power on high, because he said, go to Jerusalem and tarry until the Holy Spirit comes and you'll be filled with power. So he's like, we're twisting together. We're molding together. But while you're waiting, I want you to wait in expectation. Don't just wait, but wait in expectation. When I'm expecting, I'm expecting something to come. I'm expecting something to happen. So I want to encourage you. I know I said a lot, and I tried to say it fast so that I didn't hold you long, because I can get real excited and stay somewhere. But I love breaking down the word and seeing, what is he saying? Why do you read so many definitions? Because I just view this as a treasure box. Like, what is it going to mean? I have no idea, but like, who would have thought that waiting would mean to bind together, to tarry? And so I encourage you, one, dig deeper. I've gone deep before. Go deeper, because deep calls to deep. And we want to go deeper and deeper in him. Amen. You can stand to your feet. Father, we come before you. You are so good and so kind. And first, I just want to lift up all of these names really quickly And we just pray right now for every prodigal that is listed on here, that every single one of them would be saved, because you would not that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. I pray that these prodigals, like the prodigal son, would come to their senses and they would see the miserable state that they are in, that they're eating pig slop, but they could be in their father's house. And so we speak a drawing to them right now in the name of Jesus. We say, hear the word of the Lord. Holy Spirit, would you hover? Would you convict? Would you put people in their pathway? Would you put signs before them? Would you give them dreams? Would you give them visions? Would they run into someone on the street? Would they pass a church and all of a sudden conviction would jump out and grab them? God, I pray right now that they would be saved to the uttermost. I pray that they would be converted. I pray that they would be baptized. I pray that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and they would have a real relationship with the Lord. And God, I pray right now over Psalm 27. I pray that we would be Psalm 27, that we would have this with you, every single part of it. Not one thing missed or left out, all of it, that you would be all of those things to us and we would be in all of those things that you instructed and you gave to us. And I pray once again over your people that they would be promoted. God, I pray that they would be lifted up above their enemies. Even as David prayed, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I pray that that would be the case for every single person in this room. God, simply mold us, shape us, draw us into your presence more and more, because we want to be like you and we want to behold you. We bless your name in Jesus' name.